The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
And Doherty's feet. Ken, how are you?
Thank you very much.
Many's a Sunday evening.
Nobody's called me that before.
what year did you win the World Championship?
You weren't born, were you? 1997.
I'll give you one. I was at Leeds United when you won it.
Right.
Before the tournament started, one of the Irish lads. It was myself, Steve McPhail, Alan Mabry, and a guy called John Butler. And John, we went there training one morning, and John Butler said to me, "I've just put a score on Ken to win the World Championship."
I was about 33-1 or something like that.
Yeah, he cleaned up. There you go. So there you go. Interesting story. Nice. Anyway.
Still waiting on the tip. I bet he still didn't buy a round, did he?
We were only 7 to 16, I think, I think he didn't. He bought fish and chips.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, how are you getting on? All good?
Grant, yeah, very good, yeah. Still banging away and still enjoying it, you know. But I love the football as well, like you do, you know. When I was watching the old Rooney interview last night, I thought it was quite good. But all excited. Wasn't too happy on Sunday, though, when Man United lost to Arsenal. It was all over in about 20 minutes.
They got really absolutely
hammered.
Did you know this, Jenny?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Jenny. Did you have a different question
actually,
for Ken?
Do you know what it was? I think that was when I just popped out to put the kettle on.
Okay, you know yourself. You missed the three goals.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I did see the rugby match, though, so I was just like, see, that's yeah, kind yeah, of it. Yeah. I'm getting there.
You're getting
I'm
there,
working
yeah.
on it,
you're
you know?
Not, you're not the sporty type, Jenny.
To be honest, I actually would have more interest in watching snooker now, genuinely, than a soccer match or anything else.
You say all the right things.
But it's actually true, because I remember watching them, like, it was the only sporting event that my mum and dad didn't fight over that my mum was happy to watch as well. She's like, right, we can watch the snooker together and that's it. There's no soccer matches going on.
And who was her favourite? Who does she like watching?
I don't want to say this now because I just feel like I'm making it up.
Steve Davis.
No, it was, a lot of times it was you, but we also all had a bit of a soft spot for Dennis Taylor, but I think it was the glasses.
Oh yeah.
We liked them.
Before your time, Ken, I absolutely loved Jimmy White.
Yeah, just loved him.
He was a character, and a real shame he never won the World Championship in the end.
He lost in six finals. Six finals. His book is brilliant, actually. You should read his book, yeah. He had two books. One is Behind the White Ball, and the other one is called, I think it might just be called The Whirlwind, but it's magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
And do you still keep in touch with all these guys?
Steve Davis has a book out, right? It's called Interesting, right? Jimmy White brought his book out around the same time. And they're absolutely chalk and cheese. You know, one is all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Steve Davis's first chapter is about chalking your queue.
And that's, ironically, that's the one that's called Interesting, is it?
Yeah.
But do you know what surprised me over the years?
Fascinating in their own way.
Well, I suppose over the years, Steve Davis, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you watched him play and when he won all those tournaments, he was always quite a bit, he came across a bit boring.
Yeah.
Actually, when I've seen him in later years being punchy, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's got a great dry wit. And he's completely different to what you actually see when he was in his pomp, you know, and winning everything. You know, he just said, like, well, the rest of them were all crap. It was very easy to win all the time.
What happens with snooker players, Ken, as you get older? Is it an eyesight thing where people kind of don't win as much or what?
No, I think just as you get a bit old, it's not really your eyesight. I mean, you're only looking down a 12-foot-by-6 table, like, so I think it's just you get a little bit. It becomes a lot harder, you know what I mean? You don't have... I always try and use the analogy about driving a car. You know, when you're young, you get into a car, you're flying around, you don't see any of the danger signs.
Yeah.
When you get a bit older, the car is not for speed so much, it's more safety, and, you know, you worry about... Because you've been in a few bangs, and, you know, so you take your time a little bit more, and you're a little bit more nervous, basically, you know?
So you take less risks, and you need to take risks if you're going to go
on
and win.
You have to be a little bit more impulsive, you have to be a bit more aggressive, and, you know, that's what the younger players are like, and they score a lot heavier. You know, the likes of Judd Trump and players like that, you know, they're in, bang, they want to win the frame one visit, you know.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Jenny, you only go to pool or snooker?
I'm actually not too bad at pool. I've only tried snooker once. I couldn't, the tables was too big for me.
It doesn't look so big on the TV.
I know, you kind of go, and I remember going into someone's house one day and they're like, do you want a game? I was like, yeah, great. And like, I leaned over the table. I was like, to be honest, if I could just hit the white ball, I'm not worried about aiming at anything else. It was quite difficult.
My dad used to bring me out to race course in snooker hall when I was a kid. He'd have a little box, a little kind of tray, you know, where you turn the kind of bottles of beer stuff upside down, the crates. He'd be standing on one of those.
Well, that's how I started on the old biscuit tins, you know, Jacob's biscuit tins. I had one in Jason's when I was about 8 or 9, so I had a biscuit tin. I used to kick it around the table, you know, and the funny thing was I was beating all the older guys, right? Then somebody somebody robbed the biscuits.
That was one of the old lads. Get
out of there. Yeah. They put it away where I couldn't find it, you know. So we'll sort you out, you little brat.
The documentary last night on Wayne Rooney, and I know there was a lot of Man U fans watching it. And to be honest, there was just a lot of soccer fans in general who were tuned in out of curiosity. What did you make of the overall documentary?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, it's fascinating because we have a sort of an idea about these sort of sporting icons, which he is now, you know what I mean? I mean, he's like England captain, most England goals, you know, he's going to beat Bobby Charlton's record at most goals for Man United as well, eventually. But behind it all, he's just like a family man, like the rest of us. I mean, people have a perception of these sort of, you know, people that we see in the papers or read about all the time. But at the end of it, when he comes home, he's just like Wayne Rooney, the dad, you know? And I thought that was quite nice. It was quite touching.
And that came across quite well,
you felt. I think he never lost fact of his roots. You know, he keeps going back to Croxteth, where he's from.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted his kids to grow up and to be born in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So they're always Liverpudlians, as opposed to, even though he lives in Manchester. And, you know, even when he walks around his own, just like Nicky or me and Renle, you know, you should never lose that, you know what I mean? You never lose it, where you're from or and your roots, ages ago.
I found it again. What I thought was interesting was when Colleen said later on in the documentary, she said he'd play football till he dies, but he's done with the fame thing.
He's done with that now.
Exactly, and I think under the glare of that, in particular the British media, and every away ground, it's amazing England because he's England captain, but every away football ground absolutely slaughtered him.
It was
the same with Beckham for a while.
They just absolutely
hate him.
I thought he was crap at pill though. I didn't like his cue action.
His little kid was good though.
He's particularly beating his little boy as well. I thought that was a bit out of order.
See that? Ken's watching that going, you need to scroll back a little bit more there. Put a bit of side on that, got around the blue.
Straighten up that back arm. That's where it's going wrong.
The one thing that surprised me as well is in someone like him in this position, why you would do it.
Yeah.
Now it came across brilliantly, and for a non-Manchester United fan, even just a regular person watching it, it gives a huge insight into Wayne Rooney's life. It's a huge
invasion of privacy.
I suppose he controls what's going to be shown as well, remember, in edits. But still, it's a huge undertaking
But I think it's a great PR exercise. I think the fact that, you know, because he gets so much stick from the public, from the papers, when they see him in that light,
they'll
have a different perspective on him completely, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still going to get stick from Everton fans, you know what I mean? Once a blue, always a blue, you know? And he's still going to get stick from Man City and Liverpool fans and up and down the country, because that's just the nature of football, you know? But I think it gave a great insight. It showed him in a different light, and I think people will have a different reaction to him.
One thing I loved about it, and you'll probably relate to this as well, Ken, is watching him come from a lad on the street kicking a ball against the garage at 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, and running home, going to see the senior team on a Saturday, getting the bus to the game, and then walking home and then getting dark and then running to make sure you get in before it got too dark.
It brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But where is that gone now? Because Eamon Dunphy once said, or was else was Johnny Jones, one of the lads said that the street game is kind of disappearing now, where the kids are on the street kicking the ball off the wall. That's what made real footballers, because it's a kind of a it's not like rugby, it's not a very affluent sport, shall we say, at kid level. And we seem to be losing that. Is that why the senior team nowadays aren't as good?
I'm afraid of is and most parents are afraid of is like the internet, you know, the iPhones, the games on the iPhone. I think a lot of people a lot of young kids and a lot of parents have to be very careful of keeping the time as short as possible on the playing these like PlayStations and all that, because if you don't get them out of the house, you don't get them into the park, you don't get them playing on the street. I know it's a little bit more dangerous and the times have changed. You can't just let your kids roll around the street. They have to be a little bit more supervised. But I'd be very afraid of it. We're quite strict with how much time he's allowed. Watch a bit of TV or play a little bit because they would spend hours on Minecraft, wouldn't they? And you could lose the time, and then the time is gone. But you're dead right, playing on the street the way we used to and how we grew up. And I thought that was fascinating when he scored that goal against Arsenal when he was like 16, and then he went back and played with his mates like back against the garages where he grew up. That was incredible. Then he showed
David Moyes, who was his manager at the time, who was getting phone calls going, listen, Rooney's back on the streets with his mates and he's going off. He's becoming worth millions to the club, and all of a sudden he's back, and it was great. It really was great.
You're right. It's a really good valid point about kids today. They've got to, parents have got to keep the downtime as short as possible.
You don't see anyone like, I know, and we all did the same. There was like a wall across and a green across from our house, and everybody went out. The, the guys and the girls and kick a ball against the wall, and you'd always have a neighbour coming out giving out about you kicking it against the wall. But now when you're at home, you don't see anyone on the road at all. It's kind of quite sad to see that, actually.
Going up even on where I grew up in Baldoyle and my mum's road, if I go down it now, there's no room to play on the road. I used to play squares and curbs and
remember curbs
treeing in and World Cup. It was all on the road. I mean, the footpath was my 18 yard box. You know what I mean? How times change.
Throwing the coins up against the wall. Remember Spad we used to
play? With curbs, overcar was game. Was that the same on the south side?
What's worse is there's people listening now going, geez, I didn't know they're very old, the three of them. It's just more depressing.
Would you ever do anything like this, Ken? Would you do a documentary like this?
I have done before.
Have you?
Yeah,
okay.
I have done before, but it was quite fun doing it. We did.
And did you let them inside the house and stuff?
No, we did a documentary. Yeah, let them inside the house, but we did a documentary for trying to find a young sort of prodigy, you know. And we went around like the whole of Ireland trying to find a young snooker prodigy. And we
have missed that. I didn't know about it. I would have entered.
It was called Lucky Break.
Okay.
I don't know whether you would have got through or not. But
well, I had the suit, Ken, all right? Ready to go.
You'd probably need a rest just to break off, would you?
I think I would have needed a couple of biscuit tins, to be honest.
The documentary was really good. We tried to find, you know, a young kid and give him a break and sponsor him into all the tournaments in Ireland, and then try and move him on to the next level, trying to get him onto the professional circuit. But we unearthed a few gems, like, you know.
Are they still in the game?
We went down to Cork. There was like 95 turned up for it. We had an open day, and then 100 turned up in my own club up in Terranure, and it was all filmed, like fly in the wall documentary, and it was really great fun down there, I must say.
We got a text here to ask you about playing for Wayside Celtic.
Yeah, I still play every Monday. I didn't play last night. Now I was, I'm playing in Germany this week, so I've tried to
snooker.
Not football. So, but I play every Monday when I can up in Wayside, and I play on a Wednesday with a few lads from here in RTE and a few lads from Off the Ball and News Talk down in Bosbridge.
Okay.
Yeah, and the hockey pitches down there.
So you must be pretty handy outfield. I've never seen.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. What position do you play?
On the right side, midfield, or up.
Are you a nasty little player? Is there a bit of Roy Keane about you?
No. I'm Twinkle Toes. I'm not like a Roy Keane at all.
You as a United fan probably love Wayne Rooney anyway, but did your opinion last night change of Rooney?
I always liked him. I thought, when he's in the side, it's a much better side. He hasn't been playing well of late, though.
Yeah.
But when he's in the side, it's a much better team. You know, I love his passion. A bit like Roy Keane, you know, you could see his passion, and sometimes it would boil over and it's cost him down the road. He's mellowed out and chilled out couple of years, without a shadow of a doubt. And may have taken a little bit of an edge out of his game, but hopefully he can find it. It's like confidence, you know, it's the same in our sport. When you get a bit of confidence and momentum, you know, he'll shoot from outside the box. You don't see him doing that anymore, you know, but when he gets that bit of confidence, scores a few more goals, then I think, and it's the same in every sport. You know?
It's probably a bit ignorant of me to say, but I actually forgot how good he was. When I watched that last night, it reminded me of when he broke onto that team at 16, scored against Arsenal, youngest player in the Premiership, youngest scorer in the Premiership, youngest player for England, then scorer for England, and now he's, you know, broken Bobby Charlton's record, and he will break the United one as well.
Some of the goals he scored as well were just absolute gems.
Incredible.
I mean, the scissor kick against Man City, like, was amazing, you know? And the volley against Newcastle as well. When he was arguing with the referee, he just did it out of spite almost, you know?
I was surprised Alex Ferguson didn't take part in the doc last night.
They fell out, didn't they, you know? They did fall out. And I suppose a lot of people fell out. That's a brilliant book I'm reading at the moment, Leading. Alex Ferguson. It is fantastic.
Really?
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, even if you're not a United fan, it's a brilliant insight as well. But now we fell out with Ferguson, and I suppose Ferguson, he's one of those people that likes to hold a grudge, I think. You know, he still has a grudge against Roy Keane, even after all these years, and vice versa. But it's fascinating, you know.
Snooker question in on text, Ken. I don't know how you're going to answer this, because you probably won't give away all the secrets. But can you ask Ken what Ronnie O'Sullivan is really like?
He's a genius on a snooker table. Mad as a mad chair off the snooker table, but he's very down to earth and chilled out. He's matured an awful lot as, like, family men do and fathers do as they get a little bit older. But yeah, he can be hot and cold, like Jekyll and Hyde, completely. You know, one day you know, you know, he'd be really nice. Next day, blanket.
Wouldn't talk
you
to
know, him. Yeah, I wouldn't talk to anybody, you know. And it, like, he might turn up 1 minute and he won't turn up the next, you know, for one. But he hasn't played this season now since the World Championship. He hasn't played in any tournaments and he's not going to play until the UK, which is coming up in November, you know. But he's a mechanical genius. We'll never see the likes of him in snooker again, you know.
Really?
And I mean, even as a sports person and a sports fan of all sports, he is so talented. I mean, he can play left-handed, right-handed at the top level. I defy anybody in any sport to be able to play at the level he can, you know, when you're holding something and when you're hitting a ball as well. I mean, you know how hard it is, yeah, playing snooker or playing golf or something like that, but he, yeah, can go left-hand, right-hand and still play the same standard. He's unbelievable. And unfortunately, I had to play him quite a lot during my career, which wasn't very, very nice, you know. He beat me once. I played him in the UK final once. He beat me 10-1. It was the most embarrassing, like, final I've ever been in, you know. I've been in 3 UK finals, but I was lucky to get one.
At least you got the one. You can't say
whitewashing.
That's
how good he was. No, he's absolutely brilliant. And I love watching him. And even, I used to love playing him. And I love even when he's in a tournament because he brings an amazing, like, buzz to the tournament, yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean, yeah, the atmosphere, like Tiger Woods in golf, like, you know, when he was,
like,
in his,
probably like Alex Higgins back in the day, yeah,
yeah, absolutely, yeah, because you don't know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get electricity, yeah, you know you're going to get a bit of controversy, but when he's in the tournament and even like working for the BBC when he's playing or commentating on him is fantastic. It just makes it look so easy, yeah, ridiculously easy, and it really pisses you off.
Ken, can you ever win it again? Can you win the World Championship again? Do you believe every time you go into this, into the qualifiers and stuff, that you can?
I think on any day I can beat any of them. You know, I beat the world number one only a few weeks ago. I can beat anybody on the day, but trying to keep it for that level over 17 days is going to be very, very difficult. But you have to still believe in the back of your mind that you can do it. But it's highly unlikely. That's a conservative answer.
I hope you're wrong.
Deep down, he's gone.
You never know.
Come on, Ireland. Ken, it's great to talk to you. Thanks a million for coming in. Ken Doherty, everybody! Right, we're going to take a quick